Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They're about to start. There's a place where all of your dreams come true. Hey! 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 And join the crew down in Mickey's world. Oh, down in Mickey's world.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 2 of the Etienne Regia arc of Mickey's World. This was first broadcast live on Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube on Thursday, 18th of February, 2021. Find us online by searching for Vicky's World RPG to check out our full videos and to watch the show live every Thursday. You can also go to ko-fi.com/Vicky's World RPG to contribute to the show, help pay the bills, and receive some excellent extra perks. But more on that later. It's me, your friendly feline paladin Katayeb Khan, and I just want to fill you in on what happened last time before we get going. Basically, after crash-landing into some stormy seas, me and my friends soon realized that we were indeed in the rocky waters of Etienne Regia, Sally Spearfish's home! However, this was no cause for celebration. You see, Sally hates this place because apparently this place hates Sally. Her shape-shifting form was not technically legal here, so she lived her early years in hiding upon a little boat at sea. She did also tell us of a mysterious man who seemed to be connected in some way to her abilities, and that we should keep a lookout for him. Perhaps he could provide her with some answers as to why she is the way she is. Also, this place is under the thumb of the tyrannic rule of the Regent's Company, so getting anything done around here is extremely difficult, especially if you don't have the required papers, which is exactly the position we find ourselves in. Anyway, after being rescued by the scientist-slash-explorer Captain Malera and her crew, she told us that the only way of getting back to the City of Summers is via a teleportation machine that her friend Oludra is working on. But that would cost us 10,000 crowns. We currently have 0 crowns. Time to look for a job, I guess. Here we go. Sit back, relax, come up with your own pirate name, it's fun. And please enjoy Vicky's World.
Generations ago, the world ended. Forests were torn up, mountains were toppled, and whole lakes were swept away by the power of a furious storm. The only hint of life remaining was a fathomless ocean, pinpricked by islands and lit by perpetual starlight, in a region known collectively as Etienne Regia. While the goddess Hearth oversaw civilization, construction and society, guiding folk who built communities on storm-lashed rocks or networks of houseboats, those seeking fortune and the treasures of the sea sought the bounties of the god of adventure, Journey. The twin gods worked in harmony for many moons beneath the celestial fabric of stars, but as the storm began to weaken half a century ago, opening new trade routes, a third power rose in Etienne Regia, the Regent Company. Now a dominant faction, with the largest fleet of ships and representatives in every parliament, to elder council and local committee, wherever you go and whatever you do in Etienne Regia, the Regent Company is watching. Tonight, we rejoin our heroes at the Mermaid and Oyster Tavern on the cliffs of Cutthroat Harbour in Hearthport, Having saved their horses, boyfriends, and 14 real actual cats from the ocean, they're out taking a drink and a moment to figure out how to make the 10,000 crowns for Aludra the Artificer upstairs to help her acquire parts for a machine that might be able to get them home safely. Team, as you look around, you spot two women sat at tables at the other end of the tavern, each of them with a ledger and quill before them. The one you spot first is a human woman in her 50s, surrounded by four other sailors stood to attention, all wearing what you, Sally, would recognise as the navy and red uniform of the Regent Company. The second woman is a half-elf in perhaps her early 40s, wearing a battered woolen waistcoat and a pair of golden hooped earrings. Her feet are up on the chair beside her, and she lazily smokes a pipe, occasionally puffing rings into the humid tavern air. What would you like to do?
Okay, so we fade in, and I'm just like, okay, so have we definitely ruled out Charity Car Wash? just wanted to make sure.
I start tying my top around my tummy and just spraying myself with water.
That's the spirit. I do the same.
Excellent.
I put 14 bikinis on my cats. Ready to go, Archie.
I strip Zayden immediately.
I'm glad we're sexualizing the animals, Kataev. That was step one. Good.
It's just good. Water. It's good water wear. That's all.
Cats love water. That's what I've learned.
Jeremy slides you a copper piece, Archie.
I give him a wink and a trebuchet, and I'm like, I'll see you later, hot stuff.
He chuckles and then kind of drowns his blush in his beer.
Okay. Right, so we've had a lot of fun, but we do need to make a lot of money so we can get you out of here, Sally.
Yes.
That seems to be our quickest route.
Yes, so should we prioritize that and keep a lookout for your mystery man while we're doing it, or should we prioritize the mystery man?
I don't know. I mean, I guess we just want to get out of here, right? So, yeah, but this is the thing. If we really wanted to get out of here, we'd go on a heist. We'd do a heist and we'd rob a bunch of stuff and then we'd get the fuck out in two episodes and really piss Vicky off.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
that's
okay.
Really,
you're right.
that would be the off-piste
right.
way
so
to go.
We go for the most expensive looking house we can see.
Yeah. Let's just do a bank heist.
Spend two episodes casing it.
Like Dan's got the special gloves that make us all invisible able to open any lock.
And all we need to do is just replay like about four episodes from the last arc, but just dub over Etty and Regia whenever we say the City of Cats.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just change the character names. Like, then I feel like we can call it a night from here, actually. You
know? I don't think that's an altogether terrible idea. But getting a job would help us with the reconnaissance, getting to know the town, orienteering, knowing the people, who might have the most power and wealth. And it will also, if the heist thing doesn't work out, at least we're on the way to making the money.
I feel like my influence is rubbed off on you, Kataev.
Well,
that sounds very, very, very fucking sensible.
Your sticky fingers have helped us several times by now. So
I'm glad you didn't say my sticky fingers have rubbed off on you. I'm very pleased that wasn't what
I almost did. Yes.
Okay, save it for the car wash, guys. So
that's the name of our car wash. Sticky fingers rub off.
Sticky fingers rub off.
Martin, I think we found our episode title.
Lovely. That was quick. Okay, so Sally, I'm all for another heist, but for the purposes of keeping things fresh, maybe we should rob a bank instead of a house. What do you think?
Well, that's what I thought, because a bank would probably have 10,000 crowns lying around, whereas,
right.
like...
Where's the house? Biggest bank in Etty and Regia?
I know that. No further questions.
You would know it's the Bank of the Gilded Shell, and it is one of the many glamorous and very, very securely guarded buildings on the top of the cliff at Halfport.
Cool. Well, the more secure it is, the more money it's going to have, so that's ideal.
Absolutely.
I know we were resistant to taking work with the more evil-looking captain, but... We were, it seemed like it would be the thing for us to do, to pick the underdog and go and work with them. But maybe that would be, if we did go and work with the, what are they called again?
The Regent Company.
The Regent, yes. Maybe that would be a good way of getting to know their weaknesses and finding a way to screw them.
What if we find out what the pay is for either job? Because at the moment, this is deeply hypothetical. So really, what we need to do is do the maths on this. Because if we're like, oh, we can make 10 crowns in like a week or so, then maybe that's possible. And if it's like 10 years, you've got a slave labor for 10 years, and then maybe you'll get like 4 crowns and a slap in the face, then perhaps we should just go with the bank thing. Let's do the math on this, guys.
Ooh. Can I just check, Vicky, did, what's her name, Aludra or Malira, the cat, say anything? We need papers. We're kind of here illegally, aren't we? If a region company goes, show us who you are, we're a bit fucked. Right. So if we go straight up to, so I'm going to say this to the table now. If we go up to the region captain, you know what she's going to say? Where are your papers for working? And we're going to go, cool, bye. That feels like not a sensible thing to do, to reveal ourselves to the authorities.
Solution, Gwathryn. We look her square in the eye and say, I thought this was a pirate town.
I like your style.
Balls in your court now, Cap'n.
And they go, yeah, it is. And they slit our throats.
I go, nice, well played, and I die happily.
Okay, let's go. That's how we've got a solid plan then. Definitely.
Okay, what if, counter plan. Right, given that I can change shape, I can look like somebody who has papers at least. Right?
Cool.
So I can legitimately lift some papers and subsequently look like the person in the papers.
Ooh.
Correct?
I mean, you've already seen several people who would have papers. You've seen Captain Malira, you've seen Aludra, you've seen Welkin Spratt.
Oh, fuck. We should go pickpocket.
We can pickpocket somebody
Captain
and then
Malira's
just
team and then pretend to be all of their...
Captain Malira's gone home. She's left, as has Welkin Spratt. They have science
today. I dare say we could track them down.
We could shapeshift like them. We could ask what the going rate for hire is, and then we can subsequently evaluate whether it's worth trying to get a job with either one of these people. Because if it's not financially viable, then we need a different plan. And then subsequently, we can try and get some papers forged or made or...
To fit the purpose.
Maybe
if we split and go and talk to each of them and then meet back at the table and see what we've learned?
Here's an idea, Sally. You could shift into another captain. I don't think one captain's going to ask for fucking papers from another one just for having a conversation. Yeah. You could shift into her, have a chat with the regent.
I was gonna be Malira for a bit because she's left.
Wicked.
She seems she doesn't piss anybody off.
Can you shape your head into a head that looks like it has a hat on it?
You can
like a hat out of skin.
I'll tell you what,
so
you've
always got a hat on.
The technical issue is that goblins are technically considered small creatures, and Sally, you are medium. But I'll say, for the purposes of story, you can become this one goblin. She is quite tall.
And
she's a surprisingly
tall.
The hat makes her look tall.
We did establish it was a big old hat.
Adds 3 feet to this 3 foot tall goblin.
A big like hat made of skin.
Yes. Oh, Sally, do you want to go powder your nose in the bathroom and maybe Malira will come back and take your place at the table or something?
Yeah, sure.
And we'll go have a chat with Captain Stern.
Right. Okay, well, shall I wait and go with you then, Sally?
Yeah, this is the thing. We're trying to not get detected by the crown, right? So potentially... nobody who looks like they shouldn't be here should be talking to the crown. Is that what we're trying to do? We're trying to avoid talking to the scary captain?
I don't really know, to be honest. I don't understand this place.
I don't think our presence has gone unnoticed. Looking around the pub, does it seem like people know we're here? We ordered drinks at the bar and stuff, haven't we?
Make a perception check just to take a look around.
Anyone
want to
help me? Shall I roll with advantage? Someone want to help me?
I'm going to lift you gently from the armpits so you have a slightly higher vantage point, like a baby or a cat.
Like all right, Simba, because I roll with advantage.
Well, in that case, it's a 17.
17? Very good. Okay, yeah. People around here tend to keep themselves to themselves. You gather that it's kind of a busy night at the Mermaid and Oyster. On this side of town, it's probably best to ask fewer questions. You've definitely been noticed, but it doesn't look like anyone's going to start any trouble about it. And there's all sorts of strange, eccentric looking people. Essentially, if you're not a fisher person, you stick out around here. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, so. I feel like if we would be in trouble just for existing, it would have happened by now.
Should we talk to a cool pirate lady and see if she can score us some papers? Is that going to be a quick route out of this?
Perhaps.
That's part of the deal.
If the job comes with some handy papers, maybe that's the easy option.
Yeah. Should we just do that and then we can all hang out together?
Let's go chat to Captain Stern.
All right, lovely stuff.
To start with, yeah.
Sally, are you cool with that?
Yeah, sure.
Grand. So everyone, all four of you are coming over to speak with the person you presume to be Captain Stern.
Yeah, I put my two baskets on the table. I say, Zayden, Jeremy, watch the cats.
Zayden says, okay, can I put my shirt back on?
No, you may not. We've talked about this.
Right.
You can put it on when you're told to.
Why do you ask these questions, Zayden? Why do you?
It's just a bit embarrassing. It's quite cold, you know?
Hey, just rub your nipples gently and wait for me, okay?
Yeah, Zayden.
I know, just like we practiced, okay.
Yes.
He sets Anna the anaconda kind of draping around his shoulder very sexily. Jeremy just sort of gives you a thumbs up. And
I love that we're trying not to attract attention and I've stripped my snake man and been yeah. like, rub your nipples
guy.
For the sailors.
Well, no one's paying attention to you at least.
Good.
Everyone's looking at the weird snake man.
Nice work, Zayden.
Thank you. I'm glad to help, I think. So you'll step over to this half elf with the smoking this pipe. She looks up, she says, evening, you all right?
Have we seen any like particular salutes or hand gestures that people have given to captains or done to each other that we could... I want to try and emulate one.
You wouldn't have seen that. You might make a guess that captains were afforded more respect than anyone else, but you wouldn't know a special handshake.
We slap each other's butts in respect.
We kind of go along the line. Right.
After the butt slapping ritual lasts 5 full minutes, the woman says, all right, so you're serious then.
You're hired.
Zayden, put your nipples away, it's done.
Here's 10,000 crowns.
This half-elf leans in and he says, name's Catrice Dunnett. I'm first mate on the Maiden's Revenge. You can call me Cat, it's easy to remember. You lot, by any chance, Cat Dunnett, yeah.
Cat Dunnett.
Cat done it, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the ship's cat, yeah. Yeah, cat done it, yeah.
Now I've got 15 cats.
You've got 14 other cats?
Yeah, get in the basket.
No. She says, look, I take it you lot are after work?
Yeah.
Well.
Market for it.
Well. You've come to the right place, my friends. Oh, yeah. I reckon so, if you reckon so.
I reckon so.
All right.
Do you reckon so?
I reckon so. Since you does know.
I reckon.
Get a room.
I reckon at all then.
Well, that's a big statement.
We all slowly back away and leave Wathryn alone with this lady.
She cackles and she leans forward and she says, look, we've got 2 rules on the Maiden's Revenge that you need to abide by. 1, keep secrets. 2, follow instructions. You lot reckon you could extend yourselves to meeting those lofty aims?
Does that go both ways?
Pretty much everyone on the Maiden's Revenge goes both ways.
Well, you,
we're in. We're
it
in.
Sounds good to us, yeah.
Good. See, obviously, there's certain advantages to work in. Independently from the Regent Company. Sure, you can take your papers over to Captain Clark over there. Or you can...
Yeah,
the papers, yeah. Or you... Why did... Never mind. But he... well, my captain, Captain Stern, she says if we pull off this one voyage, every member of the crew could walk away with 50,000 crowns each.
Oh, cool.
That sounds like a lot of crowns.
Certainly is. She's never let me down yet either. Captain Stern and I have been sailing together for about a year now. Never seen her renege on a promise.
Have you made these kind of crowns in the past?
There's been money exchanged in hands, shall we say. Never.
I think that might be rule 1, Katayan.
Oh, yes.
Keeping it a little bit here.
She looks over to you, Gwathryn, impressed, and she winks.
Wink back.
Ooh. So what might this voyage entail?
Well, obviously it's a dangerous mission. You need a brave spirit, and we need a couple of people who aren't afraid of monsters. Ha. We're hunting
Archie
treasure.
Slowly raises his hand.
Yes, fellow in the shining metal.
Oh, no, I was just volunteering because I love killing monsters.
Oh, it's kind of good. Thing. Sorry, I thought you had a question.
No, I can see how it looked like that. That's on me. Not great at indicating question asking, but great at killing monsters.
Well, there are fairly few questions on the Maiden's Revenge, and there tend to be quite a few monsters.
Well, colour me interested.
I will.
Do all of them have scales?
I suppose most of them do. A lot of things that live in the sea have scales.
Okay, good to know. We're working on a little book of sayings, me and my friend here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so currently we've got... Oh, should I go into this? I shouldn't give away too much gold. But let's just say monsters and scales are quite heavy in the theming.
All right, okay. Well, you know what? Say no more, say no more. Not as good as a wink to a first mate. You asked what we were up to.
I nod and wink.
She says, those two, as good as each other. She beckons you closer. Look. What we're after is treasure. Specifically, thank you. I like you. Specifically, there's a mystical island, the Isles of Gold or Ildor.
Oh, gold?
Yeah. It's said to only appear once every 500 years. And it's said to be covered with enough treasures from ancient lands to set everybody up for life.
Oh, my God.
Now, I've heard on the tides that the Regent Company's intending to send a couple of their best crews after it.
Oh, of course they are.
But we've got an advantage, shall we say.
Ooh.
So, you interested?
What's your advantage?
Well, that's rule one.
Rule one.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Obviously, this is a pretty significant bounty, but you lot look interesting. I'll tell you what. No joining fee, and I don't need to see any other identification. But I do expect to be impressed. I've got a little job I need doing. You do it well, you'll get births on the Maiden's Revenge.
Oh, I love being given birth.
Normally, I don't do well at auditions, but with my friends supporting me, I really feel like we can accomplish anything.
I go, Kataya Bright. I would like to turn to camera and. Act out your favourite animal,
sweating.
Please.
I'm sweating.
Hands, profiles. Who's your
name of agent and your name,
oh,
please.
God. Lou at Q&T Management. I'm 5'9". Oh, man. What's my line again? Oh, God. Can I just send you a taper? And I run back to my cats.
jump out the window.
Yeah, deep in his tray.
Or he doesn't like auditions. Okay.
Evidently not.
Right. Okay.
Done it.
Sorry.
Done it. What do you need done?
We've got a cook coming on board in the morning. He lives up on the cliff beside the old schoolhouse. Of course, it's shut now. Kids can't afford to go to school if they could be used to work. Still, his daughter Regina came by earlier, said he wasn't feeling too well, but he should be down here by now. We've got to start loading up. We're setting off in a couple of hours. So go and check on Nelson Westwood, our cook. See if you can bring him back.
Is he a Radio 1 DJ from the mid-2000s?
Yeah, that's exactly who he is. But he recently lost his job due to there not being radio here, so he took up being a ship's cook.
What's radio?
show business. It's a cruel business.
You expect him to currently be in his abode?
Yeah, precisely.
Which is up the hill.
So you do the job, you do it well, and there'll be and the job is just going up to see if a dude who cook stuff is all right.
Yeah.
I go,
what if I, feels what if like I there's say, a catch here.
We, Sally, no I, catches. She's a pirate. Of course there's no catches.
Now, do I look like one of Journey's children? Do I really look to you like a pirate?
I have no idea.
I don't know what the right answer is here. Yes is good. No is good. Yes, I'm going to keep that as a secret.
How many eye patches?
She nods.
And hooks. Smooth.
I wink.
She gives you a thumbs up.
She says, well, if it's...
We were... and then I'm going to... Like, okay, maybe we... A quick sidebar, is that perhaps a possibility?
Yeah, we'll have a little chat about your proposal and we'll get right back to you.
Of course.
Don't call us, we'll call you.
Of course.
Because we're going to step over there and step back within minutes.
By all means, please, step away.
So, gang, she kind of confirmed our fears that the regent captain would require papers and such, and we were going to try to talk to both, but what do you think? Shall we still go and check with the other one before we leave? Or
abso-fucking-lutely not.
There's plenty of fancy pants who will bend the rules if it makes them money, so I don't think we need to worry about them just because they're part of an organisation.
You know what?
I'm a fancy pants who bends the rules, and I waggle my eyebrows.
That's true. I like this. I like this, Dunning.
That was the most Hugh Grant thing you've ever said, John. Say it to camera one more time.
So I trust your instinct, Gwethryn. Sally, are you comfortable with this?
It's enough money. I mean, we could ask how long this is going to take, because Sally wants to get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
But generally, one job, done. Yeah.
Have you said to us that you're avoiding people here? Explicitly, Sally? Or you,
I mean,
or
I think you've
more...
noticed, given that I've been under the table most of this event. Just holding my drink next to my face, being like, I'm blending.
Perception
which my
check
virtual on. Background is doing a fantastic job on.
Okay, I'll be honest, team. I heard Island of Gold and I stopped listening, which means I don't really mind who we sign up with, because we're going to find an island of gold. It's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Don't like
and
gold
slay
here.
Some
Why
fucking monsters.
Like... So and gold isn't monsters. A currency here, but they want to go to the island of gold and get a lot of crap.
Ooh, let's ask her. Let's ask her.
Works, because
treasures can be worth the crowns, right? Just because gold's valueless doesn't mean artifacts, items aren't worth. Magical items. Who the fuck knows?
But to be honest, I just think we should get the best deal possible. So, like, Archie's putting on his finance hat after never having to think about money in his whole life. He's now like, money's hard. So you do have to get the best deal, which will require, I think, talking to both parties and playing them off against each other.
I mean, unless either of us, any of us are going to live here, crowns are going to be bloody useless in the City of Summers. We only need 10,000 and we're done. Whether we get 100,000 or 10,000, it's the same result, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you never know. We might want to settle down here, but Sally does seem to suggest
No, hard pass. But we could buy stuff, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think let's just get some money and get out.
It sounds like you were going to get a hoard of treasure, and we can choose which of it to exchange for crowns, and then which to keep as treasure or whatnot.
It's not worth running the risk of the Regent's Company going, you're not meant to be here. Fuck off. Or
the only other thing is, which is going to be the more interesting side quest? Because, you know, sometimes it's like the evil path just has the more interesting mission. So there's that to consider.
I feel like they're also mounting a mission to go there.
To the same island, yes.
Do you want those guys on your butt or these guys on your butt?
Good question.
Which guys are on our butt?
Good question.
Guys on your butt.
I turned to him reassuringly going, you're the only guy on my butt. Go back to your snake.
I just prefer butts on my guys rather than guys on my butt.
We don't have, Archie, we don't have a great history with people of authority and necessarily the official means of going through things. It's always ended up being the unofficial things that have been the more honourable.
So let's get stuck in a rut. I hear what you're saying. Let's never look outside those narrow bounds. I like it.
Okay, go talk to the posh navy person. Go on, go talk to her.
Navy dudes feels like we can. Ooh, okay. What if?
Oh, here we go. Okay, here's a Sally plan.
So
split the party. The party.
And potentially psychotic.
Incredibly complicated. Incredibly complicated, and probably won't work. However,
I love it.
What if? What if? What if, right? We tell Captain, First Mate Cat that we can like double agent for her and go and work for the other dudes and get paid by two different people.
Why are
right?
we increasing
Because I
risk?
Feel like, okay. wait. Uh-huh. I feel like I don't want the scary big dudes on our butts as we go to the Golden Island, because they're going to be like this far behind us. They're going to be really difficult to fight, right? On the other hand, going on their side has intrinsic, you know, problems, given that every single thing that Vicky Hawley ever does makes us distrust authority. So we could sabotage the authority from within, but still get our money.
I love it.
Double bluff.
Playing both sides. I'm a big fan.
Why do we have to choose?
Great plan.
Should we propose this idea to Kat?
Yeah.
Let's see what she thinks.
We're taking on the... Okay, all right.
Let's take on the Regent Company. They're going to turn out to be the villains anyway. Let's just get in ahead of it.
We'll get the quickest answer if we just ask Kat if this is a good idea.
They're the bloody East India Company.
See, this is the thing. Whoever we join, we're currently very dubious as to who Vicky's going to make evil. This way, we can choose to be evil.
Let's not metagame it that.
Okay, fine. Well, we're not metagaming
either way.
That's
a fun idea.
Like, we don't know who's evil, so let's just be on both sides and choose the evil later.
Maybe I might ask Kat, because I don't... this sounds kind of sexy, being double agents. I might step up to Kat and go, hey, Kat.
Yep.
Is there any benefit in... I know. Maybe you like people who have entrepreneurial spirits and come up with their own ideas. And I know you had a plan going for us and everything, but... might it be useful if maybe we go work for the other guy and try to slow them down from within? Would that benefit you?
I mean, I like the concept.
Grease up their ropes, put some sleeping powder in the tea of the captain.
How would you like your enemy sabotaged, is I think what we're asking.
Well, I don't think that's really our approach. We're basically just going to be faster and better in them. We don't need anyone sabotaging them. Oh, yeah, we are. We've got our own ways.
So your boat's quicker. You've got some tricks up your sleeve.
Yeah, you don't need to worry. We can take on the Regent Company. I like the entrepreneurial spirit, but you are no use to me on someone else's vessel.
What's to say they don't try and do the same thing to you, though? Should we not get in ahead of that?
No, I trust everyone on our crew.
Okay, great. Apart from these four potential strangers you're bringing on board.
Who are literally telling you we are willing to double cross
anyone
for money.
You're very trusting. You're a very trusting lady, and I don't know why. That guy literally has a snake, and I'm bringing him with us.
I'm a
we
good judge of character.
We have 14 cats. Why on earth are you entertaining this?
I'm a good judge of character.
My cats make fine shipmates, I'll have you know.
They'll catch the rats on that boat.
Yes.
And then the anaconda will kill the cats. It's the circle of life.
Says, look, I appreciate the offer. Maybe there'll be opportunities to do that down the line, but right now all I need is a couple more willing hands on this.
Let's make a decision. Are we going to go chat to the other captain to see if they have a better offer or see if it's more interesting, or should we jump on this very exciting adventure? From Gwathryn, he's just like, this sounds good. They sound a bit dodgy in the right ways.
I agree with Gwathryn. What say you two?
Go have the chat if it will ease your minds.
You can do a little shifty loo and go have a chat if you like.
Let's go and have a little shifty loo.
Shifty loo. Who is approaching Captain?
I do
Captain
a massive
Clark?
Shit and then I come back and I go.
I'm going to keep flirting with Captain Cat, damn it.
And I'm Fair going enough. To make sure Gwathryn behaves himself.
you can keep on flirting. Who is approaching Captain Clark?
Do you want to do any shapeshifting, Sally?
Yeah, I can do. In which case, I would prefer to be somebody that she does not recognize, because we are finding out whether she can. Can I choose a random person off Milerolo's ship? Like one of the sailors I saw, rather than the most recognizable person on the ship. Yeah, someone absolutely. Who looks random.
Yeah, you could be Welk or Sprat.
Okay, there's only three people on the ship and I will be one of three. Well, can I be unnamed sailor four? You know, can I be an extra?
Yeah, if you'd like, you can just step outside and be like, I'm going to steal your face and then transform into it, come back inside.
My only worry is that she's going to recognize that it's Malera's crew.
Lovely.
Because they clearly know each other. My rationale is that I need somebody random.
You don't want to get her in trouble.
Yeah.
I go outside with Sally. I go, right, you're going to be auditioning for the role of unnamed Sailor 4. If you could just look to the camera, please.
Absolutely. Side profiles.
You take on the appearance of a... you spot just sort of an exhausted-looking human fisherman walking by. He's sort of in his mid-30s. His hair's already kind of thinning. He's got sort of a jumper with holes in that's kind of woven tight with wool. And he's got kind of knee-high boots from wading through the waters of Cutthroat.
Great. I will be unsexy fisherman 6.
Sally, when you change shape, does your skin become the clothes, or do you just get the clothes? Or are you wearing what you're wearing?
Oh, it's weird.
It's magic, John.
It's magic. Yeah, John is. I can read
I would
it
like
you,
to
but...
know the rules of this magic, please, because I want to know
or
how
do your clothes
out.
Become their clothes?
So you, it's weird. I think it's just like it determines changes in your coloration.
Into the mic, please, like, Sally.
Coloration, hair length, sex,
yes, into
height.
The mic, please.
Wait. Yeah, I look like them. The clothes is unfortunately ambiguous. So I would imagine that it's, I mean, it would be weird if I was just wearing my own clothes.
Is
right?
it essentially an illusion?
Yeah, pretty much.
No, she changes her appearance and her voice yeah. specifically. You determine the specifics of the changes, including coloration, hair length, and sex. Adjust your height and weight, but not so much your size changes. You can make yourself appear as a member of another race, but none of your game stats change. Your clothing and equipment aren't changed by this trait.
Oh!
So what are you wearing at the moment, Sasha? Sally?
You're still wearing your city
one of
cat
the
set,
cat's
right?
bikinis. I don't know.
So you're
what?
An
I could have changed into a cat bikini. I could have done it.
You're wearing 14 cat bikinis.
I'm wearing 14 cat bikinis. They just about cover my upper half. I'm completely naked from the waist down. It's confusing.
Wow, this is quite a look.
How many belts do you have on? How many
seven.
Okay.
you know,
standard,
usually I'd say
standard. Standard.
Usually I'd say fan artists get at it, but please avoid it.
Okay. So Sally, we're going to need a new character for this irate fisherman. Okay. So what's your name? What's your background?
My name is Jones.
R. Jones.
R. Jones.
Okay. You definitely want to stick with that.
Oh yeah, there are no vowels either. It's just six R's, and uh-huh. the first one is not uppercase. It's just
how are you doing, Jones,
Jones.
Without any vowels?
No, just the Jones is just Jones normal.
Okay, cool.
Jones. My name is Jones.
Got it. What's
a middle
deal?
Initial?
Got it.
Please, we have to stop Sasha naming things. Please, we just have to.
Never. What's Ur's story?
I'm Jones. I've been on the boat since I was 1 month old, and I've finally been allowed to leave.
And so I'm getting back on a boat.
So I want to get back on that boat as soon as I can, because my sea legs are all wobbly, and I do wobbly sea legs.
No further questions. I think we're ready.
All right, you approach Captain Harriet Clark. She's a human in her 50s. You can see that she is impeccably put together. Her hair is back in kind of a neat grey bun underneath her standard issue gold braided captain's hat. She is surrounded by four other sailors. As you approach, she sits up and she says, "Ah, good evening."
I haven't decided whether that's the only thing he can say, but given that we're trying to have a conversation
would
with this person, I feel like maybe...
Would it be useful to know that beforehand?
No, it's okay. It's just he starts every sentence with which is why his name is Jones.
Okay. Would you
like
me to
never let me
this
come
on?
Up with a character, John. Why would you let me? You've been playing with me for months.
Yeah.
This is
still hasn't
this
nailed Sally yet. Like, it's...
This is less of a character and more of a... inability to speak, which is
okay.
Issue.
All right. My character choice is that I'm going to say at the beginning of every time I talk, and I believe that's going to make me sound piratey.
I'm so glad this is happening instead
yes.
of choosing the plot we were given.
Yeah.
Captain Clark says,
"Evening,
evening. Are you looking for employment?"
Yes.
Good. I'm here representing the Regent Company. We're keen to make the seas a safer and happier place to be. We have three bounties to pursue, each of them worth 10,000 crowns if you're brought aboard as a ship's hand. Your division therefore of, excluding taxes and divisions, will be 100 crowns each per bounty.
Sorry, 100 crowns each?
No.
Yes. Bye.
Just
I go, ooh.
All right, I mean, the Regent Company sets the prices in these waters, so you'll be hard-pressed to find higher prices anywhere else.
Good to know. It's been an unalloyed pleasure. Don't call us, we'll call you.
Very good.
So glad we spoke to you.
There's no danger of me wanting to call you. Have a lovely evening. And she waves goodbye to you.
Well, that was worth it. Good stuff, Sally. We did it. Always got to check your options out. Okay.
Jeremy comes over and he picks up something kind of metal and curved from the ground and he says, I think maybe you dropped this. It's a plot hook.
Oh.
I think maybe you dropped this. Do you want to take
I stab him in the eye with it.
Yeah, I hook a nearby punter with the hook, and I leave it in them, and I go, "I'll see you later," and I run off to cause chaos in the city. No, I don't.
Jeremy stares forlornly at the plot hook and goes, "I tried. I did try this time."
You did. Okay. Well, look, we did our best. Shall we go and look for this cook then, everyone?
Yeah. Shall we say while you were gone, me and Gwathryn got filled in on the finer details, and maybe we're. We give Kat the nod, saying like we're on it, kind of thing.
I would have liked to find out what exactly our role would entail on the ship between us.
That's a fair question. She says, "Well, do you have any experience sailing? Do you have any talents or skills?"
No.
Right.
No experience sailing, but we have some skills.
Right.
Yes.
Tell me.
Am I allowed to say that I can sail? Because I grew up on boats, so I presume I can.
Yeah, you would know the basic mechanics of sailing, definitely. You certainly wouldn't have sailed a ship, but you understand boats.
Sure.
And we have so much experience in something particular that you mentioned, and that is the killing of monsters. Oh. Getting shit done and keeping secrets. So I think you've made a wise choice. But more in terms of getting the chef, is there anything else we need to know before we head off?
Just that his daughter said he was sick and now he's not here. Like okay, if he's dead, just tell us. We need to recruit a new cook if he's dead. Okay.
We'll do our best and we'll report back to you.
Let's Great. Kill him and just learn to cook.
Well, it's cooking. Take his place. Mm.
It's Great. Cooking. I've cooked.
I suspect we have another Sasha character coming on here with this cook.
She leans in and she says, "If you kill him, you will not be allowed on the ship." Oh. That is an instruction.
Is what that rule three? Is that rule three?
I thought we were having a sidebar there, but okay.
Yeah, I didn't
Tough.
Think
I'm
we
here
said
now.
That.
I can hear you. Now I can hear you. You're stood a meter away from my table laughing very loudly about how you're going to kill an innocent man. I can hear you. I'm observant.
We're not way. Going to kill anyone.
Cheeky, I look over and I go, I thought up. You were a pirate.
She winks and she says, I thought you only killed monsters.
Some, not Ooh. All monsters are monsters. You didn't know. I didn't tell you
have
that.
Scales.
I didn't tell you that line. How do you know that? Who are you? And I take her face off and reveal Vicky underneath.
Damn it! I would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for your meddling party members. And I scuttle up the wall.
Vicky, why are you doing a voice for you?
That's what Harold.
That is not
did.
Your voice.
That's Harold. Vicky is Harold.
Harold's
no,
my self-insert
Vicky is not
character.
Harold.
Is this what you
Harold.
Think you sound like?
We,
you know, whenever people listen back to their own voices and they're like,
"I tie
oh, this
everyone
is
up." And I pull them out of the pub towards the story.
Zayden stands up and applauds and he's crying and flexing and you are rewarded and he's delighted.
Hey folks, look, while I haul the crew up a hill towards the adventure, I would just like to remind you of the best way to support your favorite D&D comedy podcast. And that's by giving us delicious money, of course. Yum, 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 yum. We are not asking for 10,000 crowns, nor is it obligatory in any way. We are so delighted that you even spend your time listening or following our social media account, Vicky's World RPG. But a couple of squiggly quids from you guys really, really helps pay the bills. We have a small team who do tech for our online streams, and myself, Vicky, and the rest of the gang put a lot of time and effort into this show. Your spare change can really make a difference and helps keep this ship afloat. Basically, if you head over to ko-fi.com/Vicky's World RPG, you can choose how much to throw our way, or even set up a monthly subscription, which gives you all sorts of exclusive perks, like getting your name mentioned in the show, exclusive artwork, or even something in the post. Take a look for yourself at ko-fi.com/Vicky's World RPG. That's ko-fi.com/Vicky's World RPG. Okay, back to the show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You all set off trekking up this cliffside path. It's still dark, and the wind whirling off the Cutthroat Bay brings with it not only this chill, but also this horrible fetid scent of rotting meat and just kind of dirty, murky water. But every small house that you pass seems to have some kind of lantern in it. The fires seem to flicker but be well protected in these kind of thick glass lanterns. As you progress, you suddenly hear a chilling shriek from up ahead. The house you can see the shriek came from is completely dark and has no lantern.
How far from the house are we?
You are a mere minute from the house.
And we have left Zayden and Jeremy and the cats in the pub?
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's run, guys. Let's
Someone
run,
needs
team.
Our help.
All right, fantastic.
To adventure.
As you sprint towards this darkened house, you can see there are two large windows at the front, well, two small windows at the front. If you peer through them, you can see a sparse living room with sort of driftwood furniture. And in the middle of this darkness, there is something smoky, a figure made entirely of smoke with glowing eyes. You can also see a very small young girl scrambling frantically backwards away from this thing. What do you want to do?
Should we refenestrate?
Is this where the chef lives? Because if it's not, should we just go get him?
Yeah, there's a schoolhouse next door.
Is this the address that we were given?
Yes. We see a big chef's hat on the table.
All right, we'll deal with this, name? But only because we're supposed to be here.
Yeah, and what was the name of the cook's niece that we were we told her name?
Regina.
Regina, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Was it Regina Falangi?
No. It's Regina George.
Okay,
Regina Nelson.
I throw Katayim through the window. I go, let's go.
All right, yes. You going through the window?
We finally get to do our new move. I curl up into a ball and he throws me through a window. Yeah, I'm
all right, in. Fantastic. The second you enter that that living room, everybody roll initiative.
Yeah, baby, here we go.
Can I identify this quickly at a glance at all with an arcana check?
Yeah, go ahead and roll Arcana.
Rolled a one, rolled a sweet little one.
I rolled a natural 20 on a dice I never used.
Rolled a one.
Yay, very good. All right.
Can I know everything about this?
Because
I've got quite high Arcana as well.
Let's see. You would know that this creature looks undead. It looks like it is evil. It looks like it is kind of incorporeal almost. It doesn't look like it's solid. You have heard of creatures that feast on life and creatures suffused with negative energy that just swallows and annihilates. You can sense from this creature that there is sort of an aura of malice about it. Animals would flee from its presence, and you can sense that this negative energy has snuffed the fires in the house. This is a wraith.
Whoa.
Would I be able to know any of its... If I can identify the creature, would I know any of its weaknesses?
You would know it's immune to probably necrotic damage and poison damage. You think it would also be possible to do your classic conditions. So it's probably going to be impossible to grapple. Things like that. Or knock prone, because it is floating and it's made of smoke. What are your initiative rolls? You got a nat... I've got...
Oh yeah, from top down.
Archie on a one. What do we got? Yeah, what do we got? Who's the highest?
Okay, how do we know who's the highest? I've never understood this.
Kind of take
system.
A guess. It's all right. Well, take a punt.
Why don't we just
I
say
think
what
I'm
our
in
numbers
the middle.
Are.
I'm 13.
So like initiative has
I'm
begun.
I'm a 5. Yeah.
You're a 5. All right, Sally, you have the first move. What do you want to do? You are outside. There is now a gap where one of the windows used to be, or you could try the door, and you can see within 60 feet of you, there is this wraith and this little girl.
Well, given that a lot of the damage I deal is necrotic, or I can burn the little girl to shreds, hence me finding out whether it's immune to necrotic damage. That was the rationale behind that. I'll just gift of the gab it. No, I won't. I'll just gaslight it to death. Yeah! Okay, I'm not going to do that, but literally it is immune to most of the things that I can do to it. So I am going to... Oh, with my check of 20, can I know that it has an intelligence above or below 4?
Yes, it would.
It would have an intelligence above 4. Fantastic. So in which case, avoiding burning the girl to death in a cone of flames, I'm going to cast Hideous Laughter, please.
Fantastic. All right, tell me about Hideous Laughter.
So Hideous Laughter, soup's fun. I'm going to tickle it to death. He is going to perceive he or they or it is going to perceive everything as hilariously funny and fall into fits of laughter. You have to make a succeed on a wisdom saving throw or fall prone.
Lovely. What's the number I have to roll above?
I want to know what you rolled. You have to roll above a 13.
Okay, he rolls a 7. So you can see this very sinister, it's almost skull-like face made out of this swirling black smoke, begins to chatter and chuckle and laugh. Unfortunately, since it can't go prone, it is not prone. However, it is incapacitated.
Well, it becomes incapacitated. Yeah, that was the other option.
Is he just
May
kind of
I incapacitate
in the
gas?
Let's see. Well, if he can't fall prone, he's not really incapacitated by the prone.
Can he be like tilted inconvenient?
Well, he's unable to stand, so can
he doesn't
he
need
just
to
be,
stand.
Can he be flat? Can he be a flatter gas and be like, ho 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 ho? Can he be clutching
into,
his little gassy belly?
I'll tell
Could
you
he turn
what.
Into a liquid?
Yeah, why not? Ooh. He becomes flat and liquid. You liquidify him.
He's like Alex Mack.
No, so he's not, he can't fall prone, and the way that Hideous Laughter works is falling prone makes someone incapacitated because they're incapacitated by laughter. So I'll say instead of becoming incapacitated by falling prone, he is incapacitated by just cackling, and he is kind of drifting and swelling.
Can you do the cackle, please, Vicky?
Ooh, delightful. Cackle.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Anything else?
I am going to communicate the information I've gathered through my Arcana check to the other people. Be like, don't punch it, it's a gas!
Perfect.
Oh, does it not do physical? Right. Can we not do physical damage on it?
I don't think we can grapple it. I'll be more specific. Don't grapple it, it's a gas.
Done.
Also, I don't think anybody else has necrotic damage, so it's fine.
Gwathryn, it's your turn. What do you want to do?
Yeah,
you guys don't know.
I'm trying to think smartly, because if I see it's a gas, it's probably going to be resistant to being stabbed and hit with things. But I don't have anything else I can do that I think will be useful. So I'm gonna try and hit it with my quarterstaff.
Fantastic. All right. So you leap in through this window and sprint towards it. It's about 60 feet from you.
Oh, okay. In which case, I will spend a key point to dash.
Very nice.
So I can go that far. let me just do that on my thing. Key point. Yeah, spent. Yeah, that gives me 70 feet of movement, which is quite nice.
Very good. All right, you can get right up to it, my friend. You could even go around it once if you wanted.
What I'm going to do...
Create
I
a little cyclone. Get the
girl out. Get the girl out, because then we can burn it.
I think... I'm going
to... I thought you wanted
to
save her, but you just want to burn it.
I do want to save her, but I also really want to burn stuff.
I'm going to... what I'm going to do, my jumping distance is doubled, so for no reason I'm going to jump from quite far away and bring my gaunt staff down on the wraith.
Badass.
Do I get advantage because it's incapacitated or anything?
Yes, you do have advantage on it.
Okay. I mean, my first roll was an 18 plus 7.
18 plus 7. Yes, that will definitely hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Wonderful. I mean, the other one was not a 20, so it doesn't matter. Quarterstaff is 1d6 plus 4. No, 1d8 plus 4 because I'm two handed. 6 damage total.
Very, very good. You deal 6 damage. You feel inside this creature, even though it seems to be made of this kind of strange drifting smoke, there seems to be a solid base, something that is either a spiritual or physical core that you can smack at. Lovely. Wow. That is a heck of a round. Well done, Gwathryn. It now gets to make... How many times did you hit it for?
Yes, so I hit it every time.
Awesome. So it now gets to make 4 wisdom saves at advantage to save against this. Lovely. So that
well,
is
I
the
do.
First one, though.
Okay.
Nope, it's trying to save against Sally's hideous laughter because it has been triggered. Yeah, absolutely, it only needed the tool. It manages to, as you smack it about the face, the laughter fades. You land in this kind of a puff of smoke bursting from your kind of being displaced by your feet, and you look up and you realize you can't hear the laughter anymore. Now it's the wraith's turn.
Yes.
It's going to try and hit you down.
Of course it is.
It's going to roll an 8. It doesn't succeed. It's really angry. Yeah, it's happy with that. Next up, Kataya, what do you want to do?
I'd say, Regina, stay back, stay hidden. And then I go, I think I want to try this again. I think it can do more than just be a lighthouse. And I smack my hands together and rub them. And then I'm going to cast Moonbeam at this beastie.
Ooh, tell me about Moonbeam.
It's 5 foot wide. So I'm going to try and avoid Gwathryn. So that it's... Maybe the beast isn't in the center of it. It's at the edge, so I'm trying to not hit Gwathryn with it. And Moonbeam is a silvery beam of pale light shining down in a 5-foot radius, 40-foot high cylinder centered on a point within range. So that point being just behind the beastie, so I don't hurt my friend, if possible.
Absolutely possible.
And until the spell ends, dim light fills the cylinder. And when a creature enters the spell's area... This is what we didn't see last time. For the first time on a turn or starts its turn there, it's engulfed in ghostly flames that causes searing pain, and it must make a constitution saving throw. It takes 2d10 radiant damage on a failed save, or radiant damage, that is, or half as much damage on a successful save.
Fantastic. All right, lovely stuff. So it has begun its... Oh, it hasn't begun its turn yet. But you extend your hands and this burst of moonlight, which you have not seen a moon in Etienne Regia. So this is a beautiful burst of this kind of radiant celestial light slams down through the roof and illuminates the spot where this wraith is floating. It screeches. On its turn, it's going to make its con save. Lovely.
And try and keep it there.
Lovely. All right, next up... next up is Regina. She is just going to scramble and run. She presses herself up against the back wall and she says, "Don't hurt him! Papa, come back, please!"
Oh, no.
Archie,
I should have gaslit him. He's a gas.
Okay. No, I like this. So I'm 60 feet away, yeah? Okay, so I'm going to dash to the wraith with my action. And then I'm going to... Can I call out to Regina as we do this?
Yeah.
I go, "Regina, we're here to help. Is that your dad?"
She says, "Yeah, he's just a bit unwell. Please don't take him away."
Okay, he is a monster, but also I'm out of time. So we're gonna temporarily take him away. Hopefully temporarily. And then I go talk and I whisper "father" to my sword. and it lights on fire. And I go, how's this for a gas light? And then I attack him with my flaming sword.
Nice. Amazing. So you use your action to dash over, your bonus action to illuminate your flaming sword.
I'm going to use action surge to do the actual attack.
Perfect. Roll to hit, my friend.
Ooh, that's my second one of the day.
Oh, that's such good luck.
So that's probably going to miss, I would have thought.
Yeah, what's the total with your attack modifier?
Does it matter with a natural one?
If the modifier makes it up to past the AC, I'll say it still hits.
Okay, that is a 7. Oh, no, sorry, 8.
No, unfortunately, it does not hit.
Okay. With my second attack, I rolled a 4, which is 11 total.
That's so unlucky, and 11 just misses.
No.
So sorry.
After my cool line and everything.
Yeah, that was really cool. You slash through, and the burst of flames, because it's so dark in here, you're trying to adjust your eyes to the moonbeam. You slash forward, and you just kind of end up just missing this thing.
And I go, that was just a warning shot, because your daughter said that, your niece said that you're in trouble.
He says, ah, loser.
Okay. Oh, won't be so lucky next time, you dick.
Next up, Sally, what do you want to do with top of the initiative?
Regina, how susceptible is Daddy to fire? No.
Please don't hurt him.
I won't say that to her, even though I really want to. Right, okay, I pretty much have two options. Either I set fire to her dad, and quite frankly, gas-filled room, fire, feels, even in D&D, feels counterintuitive.
He's not made of, natural gas. He's just swirling smoke sort of thing. He's not a methane monster.
He's currently fueling Etienne Richard.
That's me.
Sure. Sorry, Regina. Daddy's gone.
Life's hard. Get used to it.
Life is tough.
I'd like you to make a dexterity saving throw, please.
Am I in the line of fire here from your cone?
Yeah,
I'm going to angle my cone away from other people, if that's okay.
What are the dimensions of the cone?
15-foot cone?
Yeah, you can absolutely. You can dodge a Wathrin. That is going to be a dexterity save of 18.
Yeah, he saves. I burn everybody else, but not.
Oh, no. Does he take half, or is it just straight up?
Yes, he does indeed take half damage, which will still be some damage, so let's see.
Is he resistant to fire damage as well?
It looks like it.
Fuck.
He's a powerful boy.
So he is going to take half of 16, so he's going to take 8.
Eight, lovely, 8 points of damage. You extend your hands and you blast towards him, and this wraith hisses and screeches, but he doesn't seem to be as injured as you might hope he is.
He's resistant. That's probably halved again.
Next up, it is Gwathryn's turn. What do you want to do, bud?
Gonna hit him with my quarterstaff.
Hell yeah, just a regular hit.
I'm not at advantage this time, am I?
No, just regular.
Okay, 7 plus 7, 14.
14 will just hit. Go ahead and roll your damage. Yeah.
Ooh, cheeky. Yeah. I'm going to roll D8. I rolled a 7 plus 4, so that's 11.
Fantastic.
And I'm going to spend a key point to make it a stunning... I don't know if that's beforehand. Stunning strike. Let me just check what that says. When you hit with a melee weapon attack, you can spend one key point to make the target stunned until the end of your next turn if it fails a con saving throw.
All right, lovely stuff. What is the...
14.
Let's see. Ooh, that is going to be only a 10. So it is stunned. Stunning.
Nice.
Stunned for a round. I'm then going to spend another key. That's not a bonus action, so I am going to spend a bonus action.
Go ahead. What do you want to send it on?
Flurry of blows.
Lovely. All right. Fantastic. And you have advantage on these because you've stunned.
I stunned him. Yeah. So I'm going to do two. I'm going to do two unarmed strikes on him. The first one is a 20 to hit.
That'll hit.
1d6 plus 4. That's 10 points of damage. I'm 6.
Fantastic.
My second unarmed strike is 6 plus 7, 13.
Lovely. Yes, a 13 will just hit. That is his armor class.
And I rolled a 5 on that one, so that's a 9 for my second unarmed strike.
Lovely, fantastic.
So it's still bullshitty. It's not quite as much bullshit.
you... punch, you slam your quarterstaff into him, and you find somewhere in this, you gather his spine to some extent. To some extent, was still intact. It is no longer. As you smash through it to stun him, he kind of startles, and then you smash him across the face twice with your powerful halfling punches.
Yeah, nice.
Very nicely done. It's the start of his turn. What's he got to do, Kataib?
Con saving throw of 15, please.
Ooh, that is going to be only a 12.
Yes!
So,
it's going to take 2d10 of radiant damage, which I'm
very good.
Ready to
amazing.
Roll.
Go ahead and roll it.
Ooh, that's a 9 total. 9 total.
9 total. Very, very good. You notice that this, more than any other type of damage, seems to affect him. It doesn't seem to be reduced in efficacy. As he screeches, as this searing pain hits him. Very nicely done. Nothing else happens with Moonbeam, right?
Nope.
Lovely. All right, in that case, he can't do anything for his turn because he is stunned, right?
Mm-hmm. Unless that pain woke him up.
No, stunning strike. He's stunned until the end of my next turn.
Oh, sweet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely bonkers. All right, next up, it's Kataib's turn, and you have advantage. This thing hasn't even moved. So you don't have to use your action to recart to move Moonbeam if you don't want to.
Yeah, I don't. Let me just check something. Oh, sweet. Okay, I notice how this seemed to be more effective than other hits.
Mm-hmm.
So I will approach. We started this by Archie throwing me through the window, so am I... I'm not within 60 feet still, am I? I must be in the room.
Yeah, I'll say that you're within 30 feet of this thing. You can sprint up to it, get in melee.
Oh, I'm going to go, you like that, do you, huh? And, Regina, I don't think Daddy's home anymore. Trust us. And then I'm going to strike it with prick, with a nice scimitar strike.
We've basically recreated that scene from Shaun of the Dead, where we're just slapping this thing because it can't do anything against us.
That's a natural 20.
Oh, well, I was going to say you can roll with advantage, but you've got natural 20. All right, fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm gonna take Divine Strike on that because I notice how...
Divine Smite.
So yeah, when I hit with a melee weapon, you can expend one spell slot to deal 2d8 extra radiant damage to the target.
Amazing. So double not only the Divine Smite damage... Double not only that, but also your blade damage, and then add your damage modifier.
So I'll start with the simple one, the scimitar. So that's 1d6, so I'll roll 2.
Oh no, just roll it and then double it. Or you can roll 2, I don't mind.
Whoa, we're flying off the table. Oh, so did that one. How the fuck did that happen? That's a 5 times 2, that's a 10, plus 4, so that's 14. And then I'll roll the divine damage, which is 2d8 doubled. Yes?
Yes.
Nice, mate. 7 and a 5, that's 12, double 24 radiant damage.
24. Katayas.
Just 38 damage.
Holy shit.
I mean, you sprint forward and your prick illuminates in the darkness. By the light
Christ.
Of the moon and by Archie's fire, it begins to glow brilliantly and beautifully as you strike forward towards this wraith. You feel the power of your goddess surging through you. How do you want to finish this thing off?
I say, prick, kiss the cook, and I slice through the middle of the smoky beastie.
Fantastic. As you slice through, you hear this, like, oh, well, it would be like more dramatic. It'd be like, there we go. Please use that one. The other one was like a crow.
I'm using both.
God damn it.
And to camera again, Vicky.
Thank you. Hands. You slice your way through this creature. It dissipates into black smoke. And for a moment, you feel like the energy it was consuming from your very soul. It's trying to drag you down with you to wherever it's been banished to. But then the darkness settles, the moonbeam continues to glow, and the floor of this humble abode smoulders as you go out of initiative. And the thing that jolts you out of initiative is the quiet sound of a little girl going, Papa?
Oh, Bast, forgive me. Regina, we came to save your father, but it really looks like there was no saving to be done apart from yourself. Trust me, that
so
was
there,
not...
Is there nothing left now? Is it just empty?
Oh.
How old is the girl?
She's maybe kind of 8 or 9.
She can survive on a ship. Let's take her with us.
So there's, just to be clear, there's nothing left of the beast. It's just completely gone.
You can take a look around if you'd like. Make an investigation check to see if you can find
Yeah, I just want to check the smouldering remains before we confirm to this girl that...
I'm gonna go over to the girl and try and sort of comfort her in a nice way.
Okay, that's a 19 investigation.
19. As your friends go over and try to comfort this girl, Archie, you step over the smouldering remains of this wraith. As you sort through and sort of this black smoke curls and clears, the remains look less and less like the skeletal creature that it was and more like a slashed up set of sleepwear, set of pyjamas.
Oh.
You can also find with a little... investigation check. Tucked in there is a kind of worn iron amulet. It's very small and it seems to be in the shape of an anchor.
Okay. All right.
What happened, Regina?
I don't know. He came back sick of the last trip and I don't know. He wasn't himself. He kept seeing things that weren't there. There were strange shapes and colours he used to try and pull me away from and then push me towards. And then he always felt cold. And then he couldn't stand up or go anywhere anymore. And then his fingers started to just, about an hour ago, they started just to go dark and cold and like that smoke and I tried to talk to him and he wasn't waking up. I'm sorry.
Oh, we're so
sorry.
It's okay.
I put the kettle on. I go, would you like a cup of tea, Regina?
Yes, please.
Okay. Where was this last trip to? Do you know?
I don't know. He never tells me these things. He just goes away. I'm fine. I can look after myself. I'm a grown up.
Do you have any family around here, Regina?
No. She looks at the pile and she says... No one else.
How would you like to be raised by 14 cats, a man with a large snake, and the most accepting butler I have ever met in my life?
What's a butler?
Oh, it's like a nice man that makes you potatoes.
I like potatoes.
I wave over and I'm just like, lovely.
Are you a butler?
Yeah, kind of. I'm dating a butler, if that helps.
Wow. Do you become who you date?
No, that wasn't.
Eventually,
it wasn't a helpful,
yes.
It wasn't a helpful
after
sentence.
50 or so years, wow. You look
Let's
the
not
same.
Warp this little girl's mind with expectations about a relationship.
I want to date a dragon.
Oh, that,
she's
that
over
would
this
be
death
good.
Very fast.
That would
she
be good.
Is.
No, she's coping with trauma. I bring over a cup of tea, and I suspect, I don't know if you want me to roll for this, but I suspect Archie is not very good at making tea.
I'm very happy for you to be terrible at making tea. You've put the tea leaves in, and you've left them, I think. How do you think Archie makes tea?
Yeah, so is that how it works in this world? It's like tea leaves and
You're
steeped in
You're supposed to leave
thing.
Them in.
The tea leaves here.
I think he's dropped a bunch of tea leaves in, poured the water in, and just stirred it around, and maybe put milk in if people have milk in this city.
Yeah, there's definitely like a jug of half finished.
Oh, don't worry, I've got loads of milk, yeah. And I squeeze out a few lumps of milk from my
Archie chunders everywhere. I hand over this rank tea, not with the rancid milk, but like. Maybe he's like slapped some butter in because he thinks it's the closest thing.
Yes. I love that. Or yogurt. Perfect. Yogurt does a really weird thing if you put it in coffee. Yeah. Don't ask me how.
I hand it over and I go, there you go. That'll make you feel better.
She looks at it and then she looks at you and then she looks at it and she says, thank you for trying.
Oh.
I go, no problem. That's why you should always date butlers.
Okay. Find someone that makes me potatoes and then
or dragons.
Date them.
That is a fine goal, to date a dragon.
Thank you. They're cool. I'd like to be one.
They are.
Dragons
cool.
are pretty cool, yes. If only they weren't so dangerous.
That's
guys, I feel like this is a bit of a red flag. Like, his last voyage with these people we're about to work with sent him on this journey.
I go, Regina, do you know if Daddy kept a diary or anything? Any records?
Not really. We can't really write.
Oh. Do you mind if I have a quick look in his room, just as if we can find out what happened?
Yeah,
good. Good idea, Archie.
Is there an oldie time, like, audio device that we could play?
Yeah, like a steampunk. While you're
wandering. Ah, like Bioshock.
Bioshock.
Or System Shock.
Let's give the house a little once over.
Yeah, you can take a look around.
Good idea.
Yeah, let's have a little wander around the house.
Should we just all take a room?
Can we see if we can find any clues?
I'm gonna have a look into the cook's bed. Was his name Nelson, do you say?
Yes, Westwood. Nelson Westwood.
Nelson Westwood. I have a look in Nelson's bedroom.
Lovely. You take a look around. With your 19 investigation, it looks like a very, very humble home here. You can see that Regina had it's more like a two-room deal. Regina kind of slept in the living room, and then Nelson took the bed, and then while he was away, she slept in the only room. So you can see that there's kind of a straw mattress. It's well maintained, but it's not very ornately done up at all. And as you search around, you find basically the only thing that looks remotely secure in the house, which is a heavy kind of ship's chest at the foot of the bed. As you open it, you can see, you can rifle through some papers clearly written by somebody else, which are pay slips, records of crowns awarded to this person.
Is there anything identity papers?
There are a set of identity papers. There is one for Nelson Westwood and one for Regina Westwood.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll take those. And if there's any,
maybe not Regina's.
Well, I'm going to take them for her. And then, is there anything that says who he's being paid by?
Yes. As you inspect these payslips, you can see that each of them has a stamp from the Regent Company.
Okay, Here we go. Right, I relay that to the group and I say, Regina, these are your papers. Now, I don't know if it's going to be very safe for you to stay here. We're going to have to head off. Maybe you could stay here. It's just that we are going to go and find some dragons. So I don't know if you want to come with, but you can also stay here if you want.
It's dangerous for me to stay here because someone broke my window. So,
who would do such a thing?
What do you mean?
You're the one that went through the window.
I wipe a bit of glass off my shoulders. What are you talking about?
Well, I can't read or write, but I'm a good cook. My daddy taught me, and I'm sensible and quiet, and I know exactly when to get on with my work, and I'm well behaved, and I'm clean.
How old are you, Regina?
8.
Well, you've been very brave today. And you know what? We know your daddy's friends. And you know what they told us? Your dad was indeed the best cook in Etienne Regia. And he was so proud of you, Regina. And he was so sure that you had the strength and determination to make it on your own.
Really?
So do not fear. It gets easier. And, yeah.
I lean in and I say, I know a good man called Ur Jones, and he went on the ships when he was 8, and it never did him any harm.
That's true, I think.
Archie doesn't say anything.
Deception check.
Shall we take her back?
A deception check if you want.
Shall we take her back down to the pub and let Kat know what happened?
Yeah. We'll take her.
Is it worth checking in with the neighbours or not?
You can, if you want to, I will pricey it for you. You get the same story. He came back, he was unwell, they didn't see much of him. If you tell them what happened, they're absolutely shocked, but they do say that he's not the only one to come back unwell off voyages.
And his latest paycheck, if we look at the dates on the paychecks, the latest one, it goes in line with her story. That was probably his last voyage, was with the Regent Company.
Mm-hmm.
Would that how we'd piece it together?
Does it say where he went on the payslip?
It doesn't have a record, it just has a record for number of days served.
And worth asking, did we find any crowns in the house while we were there?
No, there wouldn't be any. There, you might find 3, maybe, that Regina has. And if you ask her for them, she'll kind of...
No. Might be able you to hold on to those. You hold on to those. That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
she keeps them.
Why don't you come with us for now, Regina? We're gonna go and chat to some of Daddy's friends, and we'll find you somewhere to stay. How does that sound? We'll get this window patched up.
That would be nice, thank you.
And you're going to meet 14 kittens. And if you give them this, and I give her a stone mouse, they will like you very, very much and give you little licks and cuddles.
Oh, I like cats. They catch mice.
Yes, they do.
Did you know that a brown splotchy cat is called a tabby?
I did, Regina. And did you know a ginger cat is called a ginger cat?
No, I didn't.
Whoa, real meeting of the minds here.
And did you know that tortoise shell cats can only be female due to their genetic makeup?
Wow. I did, Sally.
Only lady cats can be tortoise shell. I just want to get involved.
There are cats with shells of tortoises?
No, no, it's a colouring thing. I'm sorry. I didn't. There are no exoskeletal cats. I just,
that
if
we
you
know
see
of,
one, run.
That we
run.
Know of.
But I've met a few existential cats, and they're very yes. interesting to talk to.
Wow. Cheshire cat in particular.
Come with us, Regina. We'll introduce you.
Okay. So I offer my hand and I go, should we take a walk?
Yeah, yes, please. Hold on 1 second. And she packs up a little bag and she says, in case I have to stay somewhere else.
Oh, that's good thinking.
She's not got much. But,
does she look hurt?
No, she looks very shaken and she's maybe got a skin knee or something, but she doesn't look.
That's fine.
Apart from that knee, she doesn't look hurt.
That's
Yeah. All right. So she takes your hand, Archie, and you lead her back to the Mermaid and Oyster. You get the impression, even though you've spent a little bit of time away, that the Mermaid and Oyster sort of has this perpetual milling, humid crowd. So by the time you get back, it's still busy. You see Zayden and Jeremy are sat having a discussion at the table. And you can also see...
What are they discussing?
Do you want to try and listen?
Oh, no, I just wanted to know.
I'm going to eavesdrop. I want to know what the boyfriends club say about us when we're not around.
Yeah, you can absolutely say that. Okay, we cut briefly to the boyfriend club. And Zayden's kind of nodding along as Jeremy says, so, yeah, we spent maybe two or three years just sort of chatting, getting to know each other. You know, he liked my mother as much as anyone could, you know, like a servant while you're the family of a noble house. And Zayden says, hey, it sounds like you did not necessarily have the most equal sort of first meeting. And Jeremy says, oh, I suppose, but there was always something about him that just, you know, even when he was kind of a bit more egomaniacal than he is now, he still trusted me and listened to me. And I think, you know, I don't know, maybe it's egotistical of me to say, but I don't ever know if he really thought of me in the same way as the other servants. And Zayden kind of pats his shoulder.
This isn't as salacious as we hoped.
Yeah, this is why they're the B and C characters. This right here, this scintillating dialogue.
Oh, right, creator of R. Jones.
All right. Ah, touché!
Hey, R. Jones was a brilliant D character that couldn't possibly carry another scene if he tried.
Let's let them carry on bonding. Let's take Regina over to Kat.
I thought that was a sweet scene. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I was tempted to come in and ruin it by saying something rude to Jeremy, but I thought as much as that might be funny, I won't do it.
I don't know if Archie would. Or maybe
yeah,
would.
I don't think he would.
Yeah, that's lovely. Well, thank you, John. You step over towards Catrice. You can see that Captain Clark has gone home for the evening. And Catrice is currently blowing a complicated looking figure eight from ooh. Pipe smoke.
Ooh, I go, ooh, can you do a boat?
She says, I'll try. And she tries. And let's see how well she does. Yes, she manages to blow a smoke in the shape of a boat, but it is but a small rowing boat. Underwhelming.
Oh, I'm still very well.
That's still
that's
quite
great.
Good. If it's a rowing boat, it's got oars. She's managed oars.
Blow your smoke.
She says,
turn
so,
it into a boat.
This Nelson? No, I know you. You're Regina. What's going on?
Okay, so we had a little bit of an issue with Nelson.
Yes, you did tell us not to kill him, but...
Yeah.
technically, he was already dead.
He was already dead, yes.
Let's have a little bit of tact in front of his daughter. Regina, could
we've
you...
We've ushered her to one side.
Where are all the
I
cats?
I do an interpretive dance behind Regina's head, like, smoky smoke, shooty shoot, gone!
Are the cats with Jeremy and Zayden?
Yes, absolutely.
I go, hey, Regina, would you like to go and meet some cats?
Yes, please.
I go, right, those two over there... They're going to introduce you. There's 14. You have to memorize all the names, okay?
Okay. I hope one's right. called Butterbean. They're my favourite
kind. Oh, good.
Of- Regina, come with me. I'll take Regina over. I'll take her over.
There'll be a test later, Regina.
Okay. I'll do my best.
Okay, yes, I know you will.
And I can't cheat because I can't read. She goes.
That's the spirit. And I go back to... what's her name? Who we're talking to?
Catrice. She said, just call you Cat. First mate Cat.
Cat. So she's not... So Stern... We haven't met Stern yet. Okay. I go, right, so Cat, we got there and Nelson was... I think the technical term is a wraith. Is that right, Sally?
Yep. Shit. Big wraith.
Yeah.
All right. Are you okay?
He'd been on... And I pull out the payslip and I go, we learned his last mission was with the Regent's company, the bad guys. When he got back, he was feeling funny and had coldness. His fingertips went. This is all according to Regina. And then by the time we arrived, he was pretty ghostly. We had to put him down. I did most of the work, but you know, together we took him down.
Shit. Well, you did the right thing there. This sort of thing it's relatively new in Etienne Regia. People travel under the celestial fabric, the network of stars in the sky that's above us. I'm sure you know this, but in case you don't, I'm rehashing. And sometimes there's a tear and people get sick from that exposure to the storm or whatever it is. Either way, we tend to keep a better eye out for that than the Regent Company does, so I wouldn't worry too much. But you know, if you see a dark patch of sky, be warned, tell somebody, keep an eye on your mates.
Rule three.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so we are still missing a cook. However, bit of an outfield pitch here. Regina says she's very good, but she's also 8. I don't know what the ethics are here.
What is the youngest crew member you currently have?
Yeah.
I figure you're pirates, you probably don't care, but...
Look, we can look after her. We'll take her on board. Though this does mean we're going to have fucking Francois as well. Oh, I hate that guy.
Oh, not Francois.
Yeah, look. Oh, God.
He's our fucking backup cook, and he's just obnoxious. You'll meet him when you meet him.
Can we all do cooking auditions and just see which one of us can be the cook of this ship? I feel like that's...
Look, if I were in charge, I would happily hire another ship's cook. But look, it's getting late. I figure you lot will need a rest because we are setting off in a few hours. So if you want to decide amongst yourselves who would rather be a ship's cook, and then tell me tomorrow, or better still, tell our quartermaster. He's Ryerk. He might have a better interest in that than I. I'm just a first mate, really.
Well, I have to say, you're my first mate that I've made in Etienne Regia, so that's cool. Good.
That's nice. You need to make more friends.
Oh, don't put yourself down. I'm delighted.
No, I just don't have the time to be the entirety of your emotional crush, mate, sorry.
Oh, hey, don't get ahead of yourself. I've got these friends too. Just saying.
Wait, well,
don't leave me, don't leave me. I really want to be friends with you. Oh my God, what have I done? Archie, come on, you went on too strong.
She pats your shoulder and she says, "That's all right. Don't worry."
Insecure attachment style, much?
Oh man, crumbled quickly there.
It's all right. You'll have plenty of time to work on that while we're at sea, trapped on a boat together. So, I'll just go ahead and take down your names for the quartermaster. I presume you're all right with the payment scheme.
What was the payment scheme? Was it an island of gold?
50,000 crowns.
50,000 crowns. If we find the Isle of Gold and get back safe.
Can we also take some gold from the Island of Gold?
Of course you can.
Right, so it could be 50,000 plus bonuses.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the captain has first dibs, of course, but you'll be on the most junior section of the ladder, but she doesn't tend to be stingy with this sort of thing. These hoops are real gold. She flicks.
Is that 50,000 each?
Yeah, of course. 50,000 crowns.
Did it not surprise you, Captain? Sorry, not Captain, First Mate. That he was paid by the company. Is that how? Huh?
Illness doesn't tend to discriminate between who you work for.
His last mission wasn't for you.
Yeah, Nelson. He ops around. He's done a lot of jobs for the company because they tend to be safer. But after the last one, he grew a bit sick of it and wanted to try something new.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Freelancers, isn't it?
So he used to work for the company. Okay.
Yeah. But good eye. You seem incisive.
We're all for hire for the right amount of crowns, aren't we?
I suppose you're right. Or other alternative methods of payment, eh?
Oh, my God!
She says, I don't believe I got your names. Mind if I take them?
Oh, yeah, of course. Are we going to lie about this, by the way?
Are these our pirate names? Do you want our pirate names?
No, your real names. But if you like, you can have pirate names. Because you know what? That sounds fun.
I think you may. I know we're new friends, but I think you can probably tell I'd like a pirate name.
Of course you would, mate. What do you want to be?
Ooh, okay. Who's the most fearsome pirate in all the land?
Well, Captain Stern, of course.
Oh, well, of course, you've got to say that, but any others?
Historically.
Historically? Oh, yeah, well, I suppose generally what pirate names tend to be is a combination of two words, so like Gold Shoulders or...
Ooh, Gold Shoulders is great.
Yeah? You want to be Gold Shoulders?
I'm No Smile Hitch.
No Smile Hitch?
Yeah.
Pleased to meet you.
Is that an anagram, Guethrin?
I give her a massive smile. It's ironic.
I like it.
Right. Okay. Well, at least it's working on her. That's the main thing.
So that is. Are you also going to tell her your real name?
Nice. Archibald Morgan. Pleased to meet you.
All right. Nice to meet you, Archibald Morgan.
And I think my pirate name will be.
I went to a pirate name generator on the internet.
Do you like Gold Shoulders? We don't have enough time for me to figure this out on air.
I walk back and I go, I think Regina's settling in well, and I point over my shoulder and Regina's in a basket covered in cats. Aww. I go, what's going on? Are we giving our pirate names yet? I'll be Gold Shoulders, please. I'd love to be... you can call me Gold Shoulders.
Fair's fair, you got in there first.
That's the rule of the sea.
Yeah.
You get the Gold Shoulders.
Kataib Khan, at your service.
Good to meet you, mate. Gold Shoulders, is it?
I think you can call me Cat of the Waves.
Nice. Ooh.
I like that. Now, are we going to have a bit of a something? Because obviously my name is Cat, but...
Okay, I'll be Kitty. I'll be Kitty of the Waves.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh, how do you do that?
I'm just practicing my pirate's arr.
What's a pirate's favourite letter of the alphabet?
P.
C.
Yeah, P for pirate.
C for the C. C.
C.
C. C. Is it C?
It is C.
Yeah. Smile.
Well done, Itch.
Oh, and then I kind of look at Sally and I go, oh yeah, what's she going to say? Because I don't know how secretive she wants to be here.
Well, yeah. This is the thing. You don't know this, unfortunately, but Sally Spearfish is, of course, an assumed name.
Oh.
Not that anyone knows.
Your real name is the Pirate.
You guys don't know my... Oh, God. I also went on a pirate name generator, but I don't like androgynous Haley Death. No, androgynous Haley Dread. I don't want androgynous Haley Dread. I'm good. I will be... Sriracha Mayo.
Sriracha Mayo, fantastic.
Gone with Sriracha Mayo,
that's
and I'm
amazing.
Sticking to it.
That's amazing.
My pirate name's going to be Golden Curls.
Golden Curls. Ooh, yeah. I like it. All right. So, just to review, and madam, what's your name? Your unofficial pirate name.
My non-pirate name would be Sally Spearfish.
Sally Spearfish, right you are. So just to recap, we have No Smile Hitch, we've got Golden Curls, we've got Kitty of the Waves, and we've got Sriracha Mayo. Yeah.
I love that we have Kitty and Cat, we have Sriracha and Sriracha.
Yeah.
I mean.
So what was it? No Smile
Hitch.
No Smile Hitch.
After the knot.
I'm going to make a slight change. I'm going to go Kitten of the Waves. I think it's got a better role.
rolls up the tongue a bit better.
Kitten of right, I love it. Well, in that case, get yourself some rest. I'll pass that all up with the quartermaster, get you all registered, get your papers, your documents sorted. Meet us in Cutthroat Harbour in 6 hours, and we'll set sail.
Looking forward to charting the oceans with you, first mate.
Where might we be able to take a rest?
Well, you could go upstairs here if you want.
You have a room?
Yeah, of course we have a room. We tend to hire one out for people that we want to hire just in case they need a break beforehand. Here you go. And she hands you all keys, and it's room 4.
Oh, sounds great. I pick up the baskets of cats.
Is there a pet policy at the mermaid?
I don't think.
Yep. And it's as long as it isn't vermin, you can have it.
It's a 14 pet maximum.
Yeah. A 13 pet maximum, and you have to choose.
No!
No!
This is how she's going to whittle it.
Craig, you're sleeping outside tonight, Craig. Sorry.
Craig. Poor Craig looks at you with a sad, long face and then paces out. I'm imagining Craig is like a palace cat with a squidge nose. Yes. Just goes, oh, classic Craig. Go outside, Craig. Nobody loves you. You're the most expendable.
You're on guard duty, Craig. You should be honored.
All right, fine. It didn't take a
fucking vigilante. Yeah, you're the bravest puss there is, Craig.
Brave puss, Craig. Craig. He goes and sits outside and takes watch. And by takes watch, I mean falls asleep almost immediately.
I think we'll be safe tonight with Brave Puss Craig on guard duty.
That's my pirate name, if anyone else. So you all drift off to sleep in the Mermaid and Oyster Tavern, awaiting and perhaps anticipating what awaits you next time on The Maiden's Revenge. And that is where we'll end our episode for today. Well done, everybody. Before we sign off, let's go for a very quick plug so you guys can know where to find everyone if you want to find them on the interweb. Talal, where can people find you?
Talalaban on all the socials. Just look for Talalaban and that will be me.
Fantastic. Sasha, where can people find you?
At Sasha K. Allen or at Sasha Allen Comedy for Twitter and Facebook respectively.
Amazing. John, where can people find you?
At John Gracie on Twitter and 50 Shades of Gracie on Instagram.
Fantastic. I am at Vic Hawley on Twitter and at Dot Vic Hawley on Instagram. And yeah, say hi. We hope to see you there. That would be grand.
You've been listening to Vicky's World, starring Vicky Hawley, John Gracie, Sasha Ellen, Dan Simpson, and me, Talal Karkouti. All our socials are in the podcast description. Give us a follow and say hi. Find Vicky's World RPG on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Insta to stay up to date with everything Vicky's World, including all of our live streams and the beautiful fan art that we get sent. If you like the show, please, please, please tell your mates. Nothing beats word of mouth, and we really appreciate all the love we've been getting so far, but we're hungry for more. Thanks to Acast for hosting us, and many, 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 many thanks to Adam Janota-Bazowski for the incredible music. This show was edited by yours truly, logo is by Amber SDF, and all our gorgeous artwork is by B. Watts. Theme song by me and John Gracie. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time. Down in Vicky's World.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.